I'd like to say that it is a great blessing that God has blessed me in arriving here safely and also getting a chance to meet you, brother, here at the congregation. I appreciate the blessing of getting to see my brothers and sisters in Christ that I've never seen before. As Jarrell said, I've never been in California, but my wife has attended. I've been here several times in California, but I never wanted to drive 2 days in a car just to get somewhere. So I decided to stay at home and watch TV or do something else. But anyway, it's a blessing to be here, and I hope these series of lessons help encourage you, brethren, in understanding that God is unchanging. What's happening in the world today with our own brethren, as well as people who are involved in denominationalism, is that they want to change God's way and change God's things. And when we attempt to change God's way and God's things, we get ourselves in serious trouble. We have a lot of brethren right now that are living in sin up to their hips because they're not doing what God's word said to do. We have a scripture in Colossians 3:17 that tells us, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name. In the name means by the authority of Christ. He is our propitiation. He is our mediator. And everything we do has to be done through him. If you can recall John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. What does that mean? That means if we want to please the Father, we go through Jesus. We have to do the things that we are commanded to follow in the New Testament today. So I hope this series of lessons help everyone here to understand what the will of God is. We're going to be looking at this subject tonight, dealing with Christian living, because many of our brethren in the body of Christ today are not living like God wants them to live. They're not living according to the New Testament. And if we're not living according to the New Testament, we're getting ourselves in trouble with God. And you don't want to do that. You don't want to stand in the presence of God and hear him say, depart from me, you work of iniquity, which means lawlessness, which means you did not abide in his teaching. So it does us good to know what God's word has to say concerning the unchanging Christian, because some people today are trying to change it. Homosexuals today call themselves Christians. Those involved in denominationalism call themselves Christians. Well, what does the Bible say a Christian is? And that's what counts. So let's look at a couple of things dealing with this subject tonight. I hope you can see this here like I see it on my screen, because I'm going to let you know ahead of time, I've only been using the PowerPoint for about 8 months now. So if you see a misspelled word, overlook it. If you see something that's overlooking, just look at the lesson and get all you can get out of the lesson. My wife is a school teacher, and I should let her look at them, but I don't. I'm like most men. You driving down the road in the car with your wife, and she says, you just made the wrong turn. You say, no, I didn't. I'm going to keep going some more. I ain't messed it. You know, missed the turn. And I did my wife like that one time. I was going to a gospel meeting, and what I did was I had made the wrong turn. And I told her, I don't want you to give me any information. I can do it by myself. I got the map right here. And she let me drove 20 miles out of the way. And then when I looked at the side, I said, this is not the right way. I guess I just made a big mistake then. Instead of saying, thank you for, I should have listened to you. I just said, oh, I made a big mistake. Turned around, went back, and got mad when I told her she needed to repent. That wasn't good, but I did. Well, anyway, let's get into this lesson here tonight. I want us to know that before becoming a Christian, we lived in sin and under condemnation, lost, separated from God. But thank God for his son. The Bible makes it plain in Romans chapter 3 and verses number 23. In this text here, this lets us all know that we have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us in here have done that. We sin from time to time. We do our best not to, but sometimes we give in to sin. Sometimes we give in to temptation. And we get ourselves in trouble with God because sin would separate us from God. So what's the best thing for a Christian to do when he gets in sin? The best thing for him to do is to do what 1 John 1, verse 8 and 9 says. Confess your sin, and he will forgive us of that sin. Repent, of course, and confess the sin, and God will forgive us. And you can't ask God for anything better than that. But this text here says, for all have sinned. It's past action what he's talking about here. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then Romans 6:23 makes it very plain in that text when it says, for the wages, and most of you work this week, and most of you got a check today. Well, why did you get that check? Because you went to work and you worked those 40 or more hours and you wanted your check for those for the work that you did, and they gave you a wage of your check. Well, sin has a payment too, and will be separated from God if men don't repent of their sins and obey the gospel of Christ and live a faithful life before God. So the Bible says here, for the wages of sin is death. That's spiritual death, by the way. And he says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So before becoming a Christian, we all lived in sin. The Bible makes it plain. We were lost. That's why Jesus came here. Luke 19:10 says he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. Another scripture that goes with that that I didn't put on the PowerPoint is Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 21. And this is a good scripture to always keep in mind, because God loves mankind. Regardless how bad man gets, no matter how bad we get and what we do, if we're willing to repent, God is right there to forgive us because he loves man. Now, verse 21 says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. In other words, the Lord of salvation, or the Savior. Because when John saw his cousin coming to him, because John was 6 months older than Jesus was, when he saw his cousin coming, in John 1:29, he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which take away the what? Sins of the world. So that's what our Lord came here to do. So we were lost in sin and separated from God. We were spiritually sick. And there are many brethren who are in the Lord's body, in the Lord's church, who are still spiritually sick. What does that mean? That means that sometimes brethren don't have a zeal to want to be at the church services. They don't have a zeal to want to sing. They don't have a zeal to want to learn as much as they can by searching the scriptures every day. And so since they are indifferent, they have the attitude of indifference, although I don't care, you know, they're going to, a lot of brothers are going to be lost in the last day because of that. A lot of brothers are spiritually sick. But the world right now is, if you turn around and look at it, you look at some of the things that are happening right now. They're trying to pass laws right now for two men and two women to marry each other. I don't know if it's got up here yet, but I know it's down there. It's not got, haven't got down to where I'm at yet. Not in Arkansas. It always starts in California first, and then it goes the other way. you can get me after service if you like. But that's what I think. But anyway, there's no law for that. That's unscriptural. God's word says nothing about it. As a matter of fact, it's abomination in the sight of God. I don't care if your friend is a homosexual. He still needs to obey the gospel of Christ because he's separated or she's separated from God. And they need to become Christians and then start living the way God wants them to live. But we need to learn and understand that this world is full of sickness today because we are doing all we can to remove God from everything. That's what the world, that's what the United States is trying to do. That's why we're having so many problems today. Once they go back to God, things will change, I believe, a little better. But they're pulling farther and farther away from God. Well, Jesus' purpose in coming, he was to save man. We were separated from God according to Isaiah 59:1-2. We were separated. Sin separates us from God, brethren. Babies do not inherit the sin of their mothers and fathers. We don't inherit the sin of Adam and Eve. We don't do that. The Bible teaches us that we sin because we want to sin, because we want to transgress God's law, because we want to do something that's wrong. Not that I'm born to do it. You ever seen a little kid that was born of a mother and father? And you looked at that kid and said, that's going to be a killer there when he gets grown. He's going to be a killer. This one right here is going to be a robber. He's stealing already. I know he's going to be a robber. You can't say that. And they'll say, well, the reason he's like that because he inherited from his father. Now, we do inherit the looks from our parents. And some of them are good and some of them bad. We do that. But not sin. And Isaiah 59:1-2 makes it very plain that we don't inherit sin. 1 John 3:4 says sin is a what? Transgression of God's law. You have to break God's law to get in trouble with God. 1 John 3:4. Well, let's move on, because sin separates us from God. We were walking in darkness. Colossians 1:13 tells us that those brethren that Paul wrote this letter to were walking in darkness at one time. As a matter of fact, all of us in here that are members of the Lord's church, we're living in darkness at one time. We were not children of God. We were worshiping. If we weren't worshiping, we were under Satan, whether we like it or not. Some people tell you, you can't tell me I'm a child of the devil. I'm not a child of the devil. Yes, if you're not a child of God, you're a child of the devil. You can't make it any better than that. Paul talks about that in Romans chapter 6. You yield to temptation, you yield to sin. You gave in to sin. You became a servant of the devil, whether you like it or not. John chapter 8, verse 34 makes that point plain. But here in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, Paul says this right here. He says, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. That word translated is a translation there, translated. It's a word that we need to recognize. I'm showing you what I mean. It's real simple. If I was on this side living in sin and darkness, once I obeyed the gospel of Christ, I was transferred into the kingdom of God. Now I'm in the body of Christ. Now I'm a Christian. And I now serve the Lord. But at one time I was in darkness, lost in sin. And Paul says in this text, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated all, the word means to change position, to remove into the kingdom of his dear son. That should make every Christian rejoice and be happy to know that God has done that for that individual, or for us. And we were children of the devil. And that's what I was talking about. Some people don't like to hear that. They don't like to say, I'm a child of the devil. Well, you're either going to be for Christ or you're going to be against Christ. You can't be both ways. No man can serve two masters. He has to make up his mind which one he wants to serve. But here in this text right here, John chapter 8, verse number 4, Jesus lets us know here in this text, listen, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abhorred not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. Now, this is just verse chapter 8 and 44. For he is a liar and the father of it. Now, let's look at verse 34. That's the one I want. Verse 34 says, Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a what? Servant or what? Slave of sin. He's not God's child. So who does he belong to? Some middle person? No. He belongs to the devil. One of the two. But this is what we were at one time, brethren, before we obeyed the gospel. We were in spiritual bondage. Paul talked about that in Romans chapter 8. And by the way, I hope y'all could see that over here, because I didn't know what could y'all see it or not. But it's Romans chapter 8, verse 16 and 17, where the text just simply tells us that you're either going to be a bound servant of God or you're going to be a bound servant of the devil. One of the two. You're going to be a slave to one of them. It's best to be a bound servant or a slave to God and be saved in the last day than to be of the devil and be lost. You have to make that decision. And let's go to the next point in this lesson. But after hearing the Holy Spirit's message in the New Testament, which I have in my hands tonight, which you have in your hands tonight, believing in Christ Jesus, hearing the word, first of all, believing and repenting of our sins and confessing the only begotten Son of God before men, and then being baptized in water, is one a Christian. You have to be baptized in water to be a Christian. Baptism puts us into Christ. Baptism removes our sins. We receive so many blessings under baptism. So shame on those denominational people who tells you that baptism is not essential to salvation. God's word says it is. Just by looking at those few scriptures that I just gave you, it's enough to prove it to me. I like 1 Peter 3:21. Baptism doth also now save us. And I like Matthew 28, our Mark 16:16 rather. He that believeth and is baptized shall what? Shall be saved. Two scriptures letting you know, shall be saved. Of course, you're going to have to repent. Yes. All of that is involved in the plan of salvation. Let's move on to the next thing here. We now wear the name Christian once you obey the gospel. You're a Christian now. Acts 11:26. And we are new creatures, our new creation in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ now. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 7. We are children of God now, not of the devil, but children of God. And brethren, we need to recognize that we have all these wonderful blessings from God today. When you're in Christ Jesus, you have all spiritual blessings. They are found in Christ. So outside of Christ is nothing really. A person is lost and separated from God, and we end up being lost in the last day. We are citizens of the kingdom. Remember Colossians 1:13? I'm using it again. Citizens of the kingdom. We are members of the church of Christ, or the body of Christ, or the body that belongs to Christ. We are the called out ones that have been called out of sin, obeyed the gospel, now children of God, and belong to the church of Christ. It didn't say Christ is our many, it just said church of Christ. And there are many churches of Christ all over the world. There were many churches of Christ in Rome, according to Romans 1:16. When Paul says, salute one another with the holy kiss, and the churches of Christ salute you. He said, churches of Christ. There were many bodies of brethren all over Rome. And you become a member of that one and only church. And then we are saints. Once we become a member, we are saints now. We can serve God. We are separated to him and belong to him. So a person outside of Christ don't have none of this. They are lost in their sins. And that's why we ought to take the gospel to them and do all we can to try to reach them with the gospel, because we're the only ones that God is using for this. And it's our responsibility to get the gospel to them, or they're going to die in their sins and they're going to be lost. And I don't want to have the blood on my hands for not making an effort to save them or bring them to Christ, rather. We are heirs of God, Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. We wasn't at one time. But now I'm an heir of God, and I'm thankful for that. And we are now what? Servants of righteousness. I was a servant of unrighteousness at one time, according to Romans 6. But now I'm a servant of righteousness, which means I belong to God. And all these wonderful blessings, brother, come to those who are members of the Lord's church. And we are now walking in the light, as God is in the light, as Christ is in the light. Even the word of God speaks of itself being in the light. As Psalm 172 talks about God's word is like a lamp that guide our path. That's what it does. And we need it every day as Christians. And this life is unchanging unless we change our what? Destiny. Oh, yes, you can do some about it. Of course, you can die in your sins if you want to and have a good time here, as they say, and live it up. But then one day you'll have to die if the Lord don't come first. And then you're going to have to stand before him and be judged according to what you have done in this life. And that'll be something to think about right there. Well, we're looking at the Christian life is unchanging. Let's talk about some things that's unchanging about the Christian life. The name the Christian wear is unchanging. We're not going to change it. Let me tell you something, brother. There's no such thing as a Baptist Christian, a Methodist Christian, a Catholic Christian, or any other denominational name Christian. There's only one Christian that the Bible speaks of, and these are members of the Lord's church. They don't belong to some denominational church. We don't wear human names. We are Christians because that's what the Bible wants us to be, and that's what we are. Now, I won't have time to read both of these scriptures. I want to move on. But the Old Testament made this unchanging by prophecy, by looking at Isaiah chapter 62, for instance. If you look at Isaiah 62, I'll read one of them. Isaiah chapter 62, and let's look at verse number 2. And you can see from here that the Gentiles will have a right to obey God one day. Gentiles, you know, well, the people that say today, well, the Jews are God's chosen people. Well, the Jews were God's chosen people at one time, but not anymore. Anyone who wants to come to Christ now and obey the gospel are chosen by God. Notice it says, and the Gentiles shall see your light, your righteousness, excuse me, and all kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. And then look at Isaiah 65:15. And guess where we read of this scripture being fulfilled in the New Testament? When you get to Acts chapter 11, that's after Cornelius obeyed the gospel. First blooded, full blooded Gentile, far as I'm concerned, obeyed the gospel of Christ. And then in Acts chapter 11 and verse 26, they came together as one fold. That's where you see the word Christian mentioned in Acts chapter 11 and verse 26. And that's after all men that obeyed the gospel. But when I say all men, I'm referring to the different groups, the Jews and the Gentiles. They're one in Christ Jesus now. There shouldn't be any division between our brethren today. We ought to be one in Christ, because Jesus took down that wall of partition that was between the Jew and the Gentile, making all of us one in Christ today. But I'll read Acts 11:26. Okay, some of you didn't get a chance to look at it, or maybe you just don't want to turn to it, so I'll read it. And in that 11th chapter, verse 26, it says, "And when he had found him," and then, you know, Peter's going over what happened with Cornelius, "and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church, called out once, and taught much people," great commission. "And the disciples were called" what? "Christians," where? "First in Antioch." There it is right there. So the name is unchanging, because we don't have a name. And you know, there are some that call themselves cowboy Christians. There ain't no such thing as a cowboy Christian. If there's a cowboy Christian, it ought to be a smoking Christian or a drinking Christian, right? Now, we'll tell you right away, you can't use those kind of names. You can't put Christian behind those names, because those are ungodly names to be using in the first place. Well, there are some people that still believe they're Christians right now, and they're not members of the church. They haven't obeyed the gospel of Christ. They just go to some denominational church, and they're happy going to that church, and they think what they're doing is right, and they call themselves Christians. Well, the Bible doesn't speak of one Christian. That's the ones that the Bible speaks of. The New Testament confirms the name with its fulfillment. I just read that mentions two times. You know, the Christian three times is really in the scripture. Salvation is in the name, right? Yes. Salvation is in the name of Christ. Christian, you know, Christian Christ. This is belonging to Christ. We belong to him. So the New Testament confirms that fulfillment of that text mentioned in Isaiah, and salvation is in the name of Christ. That's what Peter done said in Acts 4 and 12. In that 29th verse, he said, we ought to obey God rather than man. So we become, that name is a mighty, strong, perfect, a name that God is pleased with, and it's his son. To walk in his name is to walk in Christ's authority. I mentioned that already. We have to do everything by his authority. Christ wants all men to be saved and hold fast to my, what, name. Look at Revelation 3 and 13 right quick. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 13, excuse me. Revelation 2 and 13. This is John recording the things that were revealed to him in Revelation chapter 2. And verse number 13 says this. Get it here in a second here with this Bible here. Verse 13 says, I know thy works. He's talking about the church at Pergamos here. He says, I know thy works, where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. Thou holdest fast my name. He said, yo, they are holding fast his name, and has not denied my faith or Christ's doctrine. Watch this. Even in those days when Antipas was my faithful martyr, he died for the cause of Christ, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. Now, the point I want you to recognize from here is verse 13, when he talks about in this text here, they were holding fast his name. Well, what was that name? Christ. Following Christ. Being faithful to Christ. He wants all men to be part of that name. And the only way they're going to become part of that name is by obeying the gospel of Christ. Let's notice here the next point of this lesson. The action of the Christians are unchanged. Yes, the things we do will never be changed by man. Even though men are attempting to do these things, they're trying their best to change God's word today. And I agree with what Peter wrote. Peter says that they are twisting the scriptures to their own destruction. 2 Peter 3:16. And men are doing that today. They're trying to make the Bible say things they want it to say rather than what God wants it to say. So the action shouldn't be tampered with, shouldn't be changed at all. Let me mention a few of what I'm talking about here. The Christian must be a doer of God's word and not a hearer. That's the action on the part of a Christian. Now, we hear things all the time, and sometimes we listen to them, sometimes we don't. Sometimes husbands listen to their wife, sometimes they don't listen to them. Sometimes your wife listens to them, sometimes they don't listen to them. Sometimes we hear things we know that are right, and we should do them, but then sometimes we let it go on one ear and go out the other ear. It shouldn't be like that with God's word. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 says, and if you remember that text, it says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will. What's the will? That's God's teaching here from the New Testament. Doeth the will of my Father. That's the one God is pleased with. So Christians need to be doers of the word and not hearers only. God's word is like a mirror. It shows us exactly what we look like. Now, you know what? A mirror should deserve some blessings because a mirror shows us exactly what we're looking at. Now, if I look in the mirror tomorrow morning when I get ready to come over here, Lord's willing, to teach the class tomorrow, and I have some shaving cream on the left side of my face, and I'm looking right at it in the mirror and say, oh, I get it later, and put the mirror down and walk out the door. Well, whose fault was that? I can't blame the mirror, right? The mirror only shows me what it sees. It shows me what I look like. I can just take time and wipe it off, groom myself up, lean, walk out. Especially women. When women look in those mirrors, they're not going to walk out one eyebrow higher than the other one. They're going to say, let me get this thing right. They're going to get it fixed. No offense to the sisters, but I'm just making a point. And you know, that it shows you what you look like. Now, why would I want to get mad with my scale? Like a brother told me one time, he stepped on his scale. The scale told him he was 270 pounds. He thought for 3 weeks that he had lost 20 pounds or 10 or 15 pounds. He jumped on the scale. It said 280. Boy, he picked the scale up and slammed it on the floor and kicked it all over the bathroom. Why beat up the scale? It's only telling you what it can do. Don't get mad with the scale. Go back in there and work out some more. So we can't get mad with God's word when it tells us what to do, can we? Sometimes we get mad with it. God's just being too tough. He's being too hard on us. I can't do this. Yes, you can. Everything God tells us we can do it because he already knows. So we don't have an excuse when we stand before God saying, I didn't know that. Well, I couldn't do that. Yes, we can. He says that to rest or to change the word means to condemnation. If I take God's scripture and torture them or twist them. And that's what a lot of people do. Even our own brethren are doing this today because of things that they want to sort of like do. So they'll try to twist the scriptures to fit that. They use 1 Corinthians 7 for remarriage. There's no text in there saying anything about that. But they'll try to use that to justify it. And there are many other things that brethren do with the scriptures. But all they're doing is just torturing the scriptures. And really, they'll bring condemnation on themselves. We need to know what God's word says and be willing to do what it says. Don't add or subtract from God's word. Revelation 22, 18, 19. And what did Paul say in Galatians chapter 1? If an angel came and said something to him that wasn't according to God's word, listen to what he says. But though we are angels for heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let them be accursed or anathema, or cut off or devoted to destruction. And if an angel did come down, I'd probably drop dead, probably, if I saw one. You know, that's something you ain't going to hardly see. That would just scare me to death, probably. But we want to work. And he's not saying that you're going to see a real one. His point is, if someone tries to twist God's word or twist it out of context, they're going to be lost because of it if they don't repent. And we have many in the churches doing that today. Many brethren are doing that. Let's move on so I can get through here. Wearing the name, but hearing and not doing. Is influence. I mean, it's insufficient, you know, if we're not going to do what God tells us to do. Matthew 7:21. I just got through reading that text just a second ago. And then many Christians will be condemned because they neglect to do the word. They just won't do what it says. And their conscience bothers them. James says, he that knoweth to do good and doeth to not, to him it is sin. James chapter 4 and verse 17. If I know to do something, especially if something God's word commands me to do, but I don't do it, all I'm doing is just getting myself in trouble with God. The text says in verse James chapter 4 and verse 17, it says, well, let me get it here. I'm looking at chapter 5. Let me get it right. Just to read. I know I quoted it, but it says in that fourth chapter in verse number 17, it says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it is sin. We sin of our mission or commission, one of the two. And we need to recognize what sin does and how we, as Christians, shouldn't change God's word at all. Don't tamper with it. The moral living of Christians must be unchanging. There's no scripture telling us about dancing. There's no scripture telling us about dressing immodestly. But some brethren want to do it. You know, I'm not hardcore. Some brethren up in Mississippi and Alabama, those brethren so hardcore, they don't even want a sister talking in the Bible class. I know congregations right now that would not allow a sister to talk in the Bible class. She has to be quiet. Yes? Then I know a brethren in the Lord's church that let women preside over the Lord's table. What you mean by that? Oh, the sister stands behind the Lord's table and says, let's pray for the bread. Let's pray for the fruit of the vine. She gets up behind the podium and she says, let's turn to him so and so. All the brethren turn to her with her and they sing together. She's doing things that's not commanded by God. She's doing things that God's word has not commanded her to do. She's taking a leadership position. She gives the announcements. I've seen all of this. I was in institutionalism. I've seen sisters give the announcements, lead the singing, work on the Lord's table. Now, if you brethren saw that, you'd be shocked if you came to Arkansas and went in a congregation that you thought was a faithful congregation, and here's a sister leading the singing. You'd be surprised. But that's what's going on in the brotherhood today. But I'm talking about the moral living now of Christians. The Bible must be governed by our recreation and entertainment. We have to know how to do what God wants to do. And I want you to know right now, I'm not telling anyone in here tonight that you can't have entertainment. Or you can't watch TV. You can't go to the movies. You just have to use some common sense when you do these things to make sure that you're not breaking God's law when you do these things. But it's getting so now that you can't even go watch a decent movie anymore. I look at Sesame Street now. There's nothing else on. They got a few programs you could look at, but it's not much. I mean, most programs now use profanity. The women dress immodestly. They talk about fornication all the time. They're not married. They're laying with each other and all these kind of things. Well, Christians have to be careful about that. You just can't say, well, I'm going to watch this movie. I know it's a rated R movie, and I know they're going to have nudity in there, but that nudity is not going to bother me. I'm one that would just look at it and say, well, that's part of the movie. They're just acting. Well, you really shouldn't be there in the first place. That could lead to adultery. It could lead to fornication. It could lead to lasciviousness, sitting there watching it. So Christians have to be careful whatever what they do, what they see, what they hear. God's word tells us to do that. Be careful. A lot of brethren do these kind of things, and they don't think they're sinning against God. Well, we better watch our recreation. Paul must be thought something about recreation because he said in 1 Timothy 4, he said bodily exercise properly little, so he didn't say it in proper nothing. And the Holy Spirit guided him in writing that. So I do try to exercise a little bit. Matter of fact, this jacket here is not fitting right here because I just got stuffed before I came over here. And all it did was just make my jacket tighter. But as long as you work out and you exercise, there's nothing wrong with that. So, you know, Christians say things like, if I'm a follower of Christ, I'll at least be able to do this and do that, go to the clubs and do this and do that. And I remember one, I said Korean, because she was from Korea, and she obeyed the gospel of Christ, and Bob Bundy baptized her. And when he baptized this young lady, she was glad to come in Christ. Then she said, can you tell me some things that a Christian can't do? He said, just mention some things. She said, do I supposed to stop going to the clubs and dancing? He said, yeah, you got to turn that loose. What about watching rated R movies and all this? You got to turn that loose too. She said, man, Christians can't do nothing. Yes, we can. We can serve God and worship God the way he wants us to do it and still have entertainment long as we don't put it before God or it leads us into sin. Now, sometimes brothers say things like, I'm gonna get through, you know, alone. I'm kind of alone with it sometimes, but not that much. But I remember this brother telling me this story about this young boy out there cutting this grass with this lawnmower pushing it. He walked by him and he said, how much will you charge me for that lawnmower, young man? I sure like the hell that lawnmower. He said, it's going to cost you this. He said, I like to buy it, so he bought it. One day the little boy came down the street and saw the man out there in the yard with the grass pulling that thing, just kept pulling. And he walked up to him and he said, I forgot to tell you, in order to get that lawnmower to work, you got to cuss it first. He said, what? You got to cuss it. He said, no, I'm a Christian. We don't do things like that. He said, if you keep putting on it long enough, you're going to cuss it. And we as Christians, sometimes Christians believe they can walk the thin line without falling over. And they'll just walk as close as they can to that thin line because they say, I ain't going to fall over. And that's when they fall over. That's when they get in trouble with God. And so we as Christians need to watch what we do, how we behave, and how we carry ourselves. We have to make sure we know whom we're serving. We're serving God. He wants us to, yes, he wants us to enjoy ourselves here. We're just only passing through, pilgrims just passing through. But we have to be careful about our recreation. Our priorities and our decision in life must meet Christ's approval. Seek ye first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. Matthew 6:33. And all his righteousness. And these things should be added unto you. He's talking about the necessities that we need as Christians earlier in that chapter. But then let's notice also, the faithful Christian must practice self-denial. Yes. Some of you tonight decided, I'm going to come here to this gospel meeting tonight. I'm going to come here for the singing. And I'm going to turn loose doing this and doing that. I'm going to worship God. That's wonderful that you did that. Because some members say, I ain't going there. They ain't not that going to take up my free time. I could be on a lot of other things. But it's good that you came to the meeting. I hope that you'll come back and tell us about it as well. But Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 23, I'll read just that one. Don't worry, I'm getting ready to wrap up pretty soon. I will tell you about the sister that got upset with the preacher that was preaching too long. And what she did, well, I'll tell you anyway. What she did was, it was a member of the Lord's church that used to sit on the side, on the bench, on the corner. And every time she see the preacher start preaching, she looks at her watch, or she'll turn back and look at the clock like y'all got back there, that enemy. You know, she'll look at that clock. And the elders and the preacher got together and said, we got to do something about this. She's distracting people. We got to see, can we do something to help her? So what they did, well, I don't think they helped at all, but what they decided to do, they took the clock off the wall and put the preacher picture inside of the clock. And when this sister sat down, they said, let's see what she's going to do now. She started doing the same thing. She turned around and looked back there and saw that clock with that preacher picture in it. She said, oh, my goodness, they done took down the time and put eternity up there. That woman was something else. That woman was something else. Some of you brothers might be like that too, so you might be careful. But let's recognize what the Bible says. Luke chapter 9, I'm going to read this. Luke 9 and chapter 9, verse number 23. And let's go ahead and try to bring this on in. This text here says, in that verse it says, and he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me sometimes when I feel like it. No, he said, follow me. And that's what we as Christians need to do. If you are adding these Christian graces to your life every day, found in 2 Peter 1, add to your faith and faith, virtue and virtue, knowledge. If you add these things and they are abounding in your life as a Christian, that means that you are doing them, you know, and you're faithfully doing them. You can make heaven your home just by doing what 2 Peter 1:5-6 says. We must change our lives, not God's law, to gain his approval. There's no way we can please God by doing what we want to do. Let's meet this last one here. The Christian's eagerness to learn must be unchangeable. How many of you brethren here love God's word that you read it every day? You don't go one day without reading the Bible every day. Well, to some brethren, that's very difficult because they love their job, their friends, their relatives or whatever come before God. They love that more than God. So they don't want to spend time reading. You don't have to spend 30, 40 minutes or an hour studying your Bible every day. You can do it 15 minutes or 10 minutes and say, I'm going to spend 10 minutes reading the scriptures and meditating on the scriptures. And you'll be surprised what that would do. Your taste for righteousness and for God's word will grow. And you'll find yourself reading hour after hour. And you'll be happy to do it. As a matter of fact, you can't wait to get home to start reading your word. That's the way I feel about God's word. I wake up every morning around about 5 and I read for 3 hours to about 8 till my daughter leaves. Then I can constantly, but I read. Now, and it's nothing to boast on. I mean, preachers have more time to do it than people who go out working, you know, 8, 40 hours a week or more. But that's no excuse for not reading the Bible, see. And we need to study the Bible. Luke 8 and verse number 9. I don't need to read all of these, but his disciples, they wanted to be learners. And I believe that's the same thing we ought to be as Christians. We ought to be learners. We're going to learn God's will. Learn what he wants us to do. We grow through learning or die. Either going to grow or you're going to die. Brethren, there's no such thing as a stationary Christian. That is, you're going to stay in one position, you'll never move. You can't do that. Either you're going forward or you're going to go backwards. You can't stay still and get to heaven. God's word teaches us to keep growing, reaching towards maturity every single day. And if you don't do it, you're going to go backwards. And then you find brother not coming to church. They're not concerned about the Bible. They're late for service. They don't enjoy service when they're there. They're not worshiping God. That's because they're not going forward. They're going backwards. And God, well, I should say this way, but you know what I mean. And that's what we as Christians do. Hebrew 5 talks about, for the time you ought to be teachers. We need to go on to the immediate things of God's word. We must leave the first love. We must leave our first love of learning. We should never do that. Should never do it. These brothers did, but I believe they changed. And God said they need to repent of it. That's something we as Christians need to do. We must do what God's word teaches us to do. And so, like those in Thessalonica. Boy, look at the attitude of these brethren. The gospel is within our grasp, but sometimes we just don't pick it up and study it. These brethren at Berea, they were more noble-minded than those at Thessalonica, in that they what? Searched the scriptures daily, not every once in a while, so they could learn about God and learn what's right and learn what's wrong and please the Lord. And brethren, we need to have the same attitude. We need to have a love for the truth as God's word teaches. Turning away from Christ and his gospel brings nothing but spiritual death. It separates us from God, and we'll be lost. Let me close with this point here, and this will be it. I'm just going to touch it real fast, and I'll close. And appreciate you all listening to the lesson tonight. I do hope that it was encouraging to those who need the encouragement, and help that it will edify all of us to learn more about God's will. But let's talk about Christians must be unchanging in their love for one another, because I believe this is a big problem with our brethren right now in the Lord's church, especially where I've been preaching in places. Sometimes brethren don't behave right around other brethren. If white brethren come and visit our assembly, brethren shouldn't be talking behind their backs saying, there are white brethren here. Or if black brethren visit a white congregation, they shouldn't say, there are white blacks coming in. No, we are brethren in Christ. Color shouldn't mean anything to us as Christians, but sometimes it does to some people. And some people are quite prejudiced in the Lord's church, and they're going to stand before God one day. And God is going to judge them according to what they did in this life. But we need love towards one another because it never changes. It's always the same. It shouldn't have changed. It should be the same. Love is the badge of discipleship. It tells whether we are faithful or not. And Jesus commanded this in John 15 and 12. But I like John 15:15. You're my friends if you keep my commandments. You're God's friend when you keep his commands. And 14:15 says, tells about loving God and keeping his commandments. And that's what we as Christians need to do. Paul described this love in 1 Corinthians 13. He spent that chapter talking about love, how important love is, and what it don't do and what it does. And then we also need to remember Christians must begin, must be genuine in their unchanging love. Some brothers are not genuine. That is, they're not really fair about it. They're not straight with it. They're crooked with it, and they think they can still please the Lord. Mm-mm. Just remember what God's word says concerning this. Well, I'm going to bring the lesson to a conclusion. I hope you got some out of it. But, brethren, I hope these things we talked about tonight will help motivate us to be faithful, living Christians in this world. The world is full of sin, and it's getting worse. It's not going to get any better until men turn to God and obey him and live a Christian life and become Christians and live a righteous life before God. That's the only time things are going to change. But it's our responsibility as Christians to let our light so shine before these people that we can draw them in and bring them to Christ. And hopefully they will repent of their sins and obey the gospel of Christ. If you are here tonight and haven't obeyed the gospel of Christ, you can become a member of the Lord's church tonight. That one church that I talked about when I started this lesson, denominationalism has nothing to do with righteousness. It is of men and not of God. There was no denominationalism back in time in the first century. Brethren didn't have to deal with that. Of course, they had the Jews. Yes, the Essenes. They had different groups of people, the Hellenists, all of them. But that's not talking about denominationalism like we have it today. There was only one church back then. And if you weren't a member of that church, you were not in the Lord's body. And what was that church? The church of Christ. The church that belongs to Christ. The called out ones. Well, you can become a member of that church tonight, but you have to hear God's word. Believe that Jesus Christ is God's son. Being willing to repent of your sins tonight, that means turn. Change your heart, your mind. Confess Christ to be the Son of God before men, and then be baptized in water for remission of sins. And the Lord will add you to his body, which is his church. Guess who's doing the adding? Not us. It's God himself doing it. And if you are a member of the Lord's church and you saw something in this lesson, you say, you know what? I'm not living that Christian life like I should be. Well, this is a time for you to repent. It just may be just between you and God. And all you have to do is go to God ask him forgiveness and change, repent and turn, or you probably live the life that other people know about it, the whole community. Different people know all about it. That just brings offense to the lost church. That'll be up to you to make that decision tonight, but we're going to stand now and sing the invitation song.